Grant from the No Fly Zone. So, yes, on Monday morning we heard on our various networks that an Iranian man was forcibly removed with 15 guards, I believe, from Baxter Detention Centre, put onto a plane and flown to Sydney.
That's right. Well, Bankstown seems to be his final destination.
Mm.
Yeah, he was snatched while in the visiting centre. So he was in the company of some people who visit him regularly, weekly, I believe, and 15 guards geared up as they usually do, one with video camera, came in, removed him abruptly without warning, and took him away. Now, protocol is that they're supposed to notify his lawyer 48 hours in advance of any movement. And that still hasn't happened as far as we're aware. But so he's been left very confused. And again, the Department of Immigration's attempts to deport someone have just backfired and he's left in limbo.
Yeah, it's typical. And I was talking to somebody today they said, oh, that's terrible, isn't it? But they never hit. That sort of stuff doesn't happen, does it? And I was saying, well, no, it happens all the time and it can happen within 24 hours. I think the main problem with this sort of stuff is being able to alert the media, because the mainstream media always need to verify their stuff with the government before they start publishing stuff. I mean, another guy was removed from Baxter, and then nothing made it to the mainstream media until about 6 o'clock that evening.
Well, yeah, it's interesting how this works. I mean, Baxter's a detention centre very far from any major city. It's quite well isolated. The only reason we have any information from there is because of the efforts of advocates and concerned locals who visit and pay attention. But nowadays, when this sort of incident occurs, someone sees something, and a national organisation, an alliance against deportations, has gone to some effort to engender some trust amongst detainees so that they will contact us when things like this happen. But it's media and, sadly, lawyers often who take the attitude of, we'll wait and see whether the department confirms or denies it. We'll wait and see for the people at risk to speak. I had an unfortunate comment secondhand, although about a lawyer today, that they said, we'll just wait for our client to contact us regarding the person snatched on Monday. In these situations, it's so much more urgent than that. Of course, these people have a few hours from Baxter to an international airport, beyond which there can be nothing done to protect them.
Yeah, and especially in this case when we've got an Arab Iranian, Awazi, I can never pronounce that word properly.
Told by a man from Amman today that it's pronounced Hawazi.
Hawazi, yeah. So this Arab Iranian Awazi. It's basically his life is in direct threat, and this is one of the reasons why he fled to Australia.
Yeah, his story is really shocking and awful. This man has suffered a great deal already. His fiancée was murdered.
Mm.
He has been essentially told that he will be killed upon his return, and the ethnic minority that he's a part of is in the middle of an uprising. Hundreds, I've read 500 and 700 in different reports, have been arrested. The Iranian government has been shooting at them, killed a number of them, and I believe has actually executed some in the last couple of weeks. This man is returning to that conflict, and the Minister of Immigration knows it. She was on holidays she's been overseas, and she frequently claims ignorance, but she's had reports about this conflict passed to her. She's had reports about the individual who was snatched on Monday, reports about his mental illness, which is quite severe and should prevent him from travelling, and all of this information is ignored because they want them out. And that raises some big questions. Why are they so eager suddenly to get rid of this guy? Well, a week or so ago there was a case that showed that the department has been neglectful in their duty of care to asylum seekers. So again, we might see them reacting in a really unfortunate way to rid themselves of the remaining Iranian asylum seekers.
I guess in this case it's quite obvious that he's returning to a very dangerous situation where his life is at threat. Do you have any sort of idea of people that have been deported from Australia for one reason or another, for not being considered legal refugees or whatever? Have you got any indication of how people have been treated once they've returned and what's happened to them?
Yeah, it's a difficult task. The group that I work with in Perth, No Fly Zone, pretty much reaches the end of their line when a person is deported. There are some other groups who have a slightly longer reach, and a research group called the Edmund Rice Centre who have done some research and sent some people to interview families of deported people in Iran and other countries. The general consensus of people that return to Iran is that they're initially met by Iranian authorities at the airport. Most have seen the inside of Evin prison, a notorious and cruel prison, but some see it only briefly and are then let go, usually to flee to some sort of safety within Iran or to another country again. Some have gone missing. Some have given reports of torture that began the day they arrived from Australia in Iran. Beatings on the soles of feet, things like that. So it's certainly severe. There is no question that some deportees from Australia have faced human rights abuses and have been continued to be persecuted as they originally claimed.
Especially after, I guess, spending years in detention in Australia and then returning to that as well. You'd have to wonder, sort of.
Yeah, look, they're not equipped for it as well. I mean, there's very few people in Baxter Detention Centre who aren't suffering from mental illness and who aren't using sleeping pills and things like that just to try and keep on an even keel. That's all suddenly withdrawn. They're normally not communicated with properly. They're usually chemically restrained on their flight, which means they're forcibly injected with a sedative so that they cannot even look after themselves on the flight. Some have also converted to Christianity whilst here. All of this information is given to the Iranian authorities who meet them at the airport. They're in no state to look after themselves whatsoever. But it really would be a terrifying experience for them.
I was talking to Jack Smith from SAFECOM this afternoon about chemical restraints, and apparently there's only one company in Australia that will actually do that.
Yeah, well, this is looking very interesting. I'm really looking forward to when the Immigration Department have to talk about this finally. The man taken on Monday, curiously, was flown to Bankstown, where there is a regional hospital where we believe they can administer these chemical restraints. Previously, people being deported to the Middle East came through Perth. That's how a lot of us got involved in the campaign, because there was something we could do to try and get in the way of that. Now they're all going via Sydney, and in the last one, prior to the attempt on Monday, they took a guy to Melbourne. He struggled and fought with his guards, so they drove him to Sydney, to Bankstown apparently, where they sedated him.
From Melbourne?
From Melbourne. Drove him, injected him, and put him on the next available flight from there. Now, these chemical restraints are really dangerous. There's been asylum seeker deportations in Europe that have led to the death of the deportee involving chemical restraints, and there's certainly a risk to the person being restrained and the people around them. We've got to find more about this company.
Jack had lots of things to say this afternoon about it. It's just especially the four things that that you were talking about before. The Amanda Vanstone had plenty of information on her desk as to why this guy was, why it's so important. There's no memorandum of understanding with Iran, except to
only for voluntary deportations, and this man has not volunteered to be returned.
Yeah, and the fact that he was this is what Jack said. Man fled because his betrothed wife was murdered. Because his uncles were opposed to the marriage, while his father approved, and so he's scheduled also to get killed. And Vanstone, in her 417, which is the name of the form on her desk, knows these intimate details.
Well, that's right. She knows it. She's known all of this information for a long time. I heard that the director of operations of DIMI was briefed with this information on Monday afternoon, and has made some indications that now they will actually look at that application. That 417 application. That makes me really wonder what they do with this information, whether they're at all taking seriously the consequences of what they're doing.
Yeah, Jack also said that being from the Al-Azhar region, we should be protecting him under the UN, but because it doesn't actually fit into the cracks of his claim, and the ethnic cleansing that's going on there at the moment. 3 weeks ago, like, as you said, about 500 people were arrested and many killed. Yet, yeah, there's no law in Australia really that protects him once he gets back. And I think that Jack was talking about another form called the 48B or something that would allow for that to happen. But
I believe he actually did submit one of those, and it was rejected.
Ah,
now that. To me, that doesn't mean much, because the 48B, I believe, is decided on the minister's discretion, so they are unlikely, if it doesn't suit them, to actually even review it very seriously. Some have been successful recently, but apparently his was, despite the uprising, despite the executions and imprisonment, etc., of the Iranian ethnic minority, they decided they could still send him back.
Yeah, and this is only very recently. This stuff is only over the last few weeks that that uprising has been going on.
Yeah.
Okay, so, no Fly Zone is the group that you're involved with. Would you like people to be able to get in contact with you to find out more about this?
Yeah, definitely. We've got what we do in Perth is when there is a deportation, we use an SMS broadcast system to notify our networks, to get people involved, and usually the first of many tasks for us is to find out where a person's been taken, and if they come through Perth, we try and employ any direct action that we think will help. So yeah, people can contact me by email, that's probably the easiest way.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at baxterwatch.net.
That was GVR at baxterwatch.net. We will, by the way, Grant, we will be putting this information up on the Perth Indie Media radio blog, so it'll all be there for everybody to find out more information. I actually rang Vanstone's office myself on Monday complaining, tried to remain calm, quite hard, but her number, for anyone who wants to give her a call, is 02-6277-7860.
We'll have to talk about giving out her personal number, which
we'll have to talk about that, I think, because that's probably not...
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you very much, Grant. Anything else you wanted to add?
No, except if anyone's interested in knowing more, then I suppose please don't hesitate to try and reach me or get the information via Al.
Cool. Okay. Well, thanks a lot, Grant, and thanks for your time, and thanks for all the great work you're doing too.
Cool. Thanks.
Cheers, mate. Bye.
Yep.